Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Oh, hello, man. I am so excited. I mean, God is just speaking in so many levels about things that are going on, and I love to hear His voice.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? God does speak. You know, ears to hear, right?
Yes.
And eyes to see.
Well, I think about, you know, Job 33. If you read the book of Job, Job chapter 33 says God speaks. God speaks to a man. He speaks to him in his sleep. I mean, so many things came. The wisdom that God gave Solomon, that was a dream that God taught to him. The name that and the fatherhood that Joseph would have with Jesus came in a dream. Over and over again, dreams and visions and things that are going on. But even the last days language. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit on all people.
Flesh,
and that your young people will prophesy, the old ones will have dreams and all these different things. So it's the language of God.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Every dream is not from God, but the ones that are of God are totally amazing. And so I had this dream. I want to be able to share this with you. But the Lord took me literally and stood me outside the door. I mean, you read Revelation chapter 4, and he says that an angel took him and put him outside. And there was an open door in heaven. Mm. And you hear people talk about just so casually about God, and He's so awesome, He's so holy that He had to give His Son to give us access. So it's a He's still holy. Read Revelations; that's the future, you know, about how His holiness. And I did my best trying to put into words what I saw when I was sharing at the VFN Dream Center, and I want you to be able to hear this because this is an encounter that God gave me, which I'm grateful for. But I'm doing my best to begin to explain it. As a matter of fact, we're going to stay with this over the program, and you're going to be able to get it in its entirety by going to vfnkb.com and just click on specials right there at the top. You know, it's just yours for free, no problem at all with that. We just want you to have the whole thing. But listen, this is going to encourage you. It's going to inspire you. Like one man told me recently in my office when he's hearing about this, you know, because he's a rugged man. He's a hardworking man. But he said, that's what I need. I need to know God in that way. And I believe that if He showed me, He will show you too, and it'll change your entire perspective when you're standing outside or at the throne room of God. You're going to be looking for Jesus. So let's go to the VFN Dream Center now, where I begin to try to share what the Lord showed me. Take a look. So I was in this particular vision, this dream, and I was riding along in a car, and I'm talking to people about what God's doing, and the people are not listening to what I'm saying. And I said, you know, that I wanted to go to do what God was going to do. And then I said, well, Pat will go, right? And so next thing you know, I am, there's racial tensions going on in the nation, in this dream. And I'm coming up. I begin to rise up slowly. And so slow, I couldn't really tell that I was going up until all of a sudden I was about 12, 15 feet, something like that. You all right? Okay, a little nervous this thing. I started going up, and then I realized about 20, 25 feet, I'm thinking like, I'm going to fall. What's going on right here, right? And then I started going up a little bit higher. And then I started thinking about my family. I'm like, oh my goodness, my family. You know, what about them? Then I thought, God, you got them. And when I said, you got them, all of a sudden, so I was straight up, then I went backwards. And it was like, my spirit, man, was being pulled up. My legs are kind of hanging back like this. And I go, I'm like, this is it. I'm gone. And I'm going to this cloud. I'm talking to you about the first door because I got another door I'm going to talk to you about that God just talked to me about. Then I go through this hole in the cloud. I'm thinking, this is it, right? Then all of a sudden, I ended up by a door. And it was just a one door and on this little patio. And I opened this door up, and it was like old cabinets. And it was like not heaven. But it was something God was doing. He was opening doors here horizontally. That was about a dream about God opening doors. So maybe you had times where God's opening doors for you at the workplace and relationship, and that's a different kind of door. I'm not talking about that door today. But that was God saying, you know, I'm going to open some doors for you. I'm going to give you favor, and these things are going to happen. He's done it. I mean, obviously, been pretty awesome. But if you look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, you can turn there, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, this is a different place. When I open that door up, you know, God's going to reestablish His cabinet. You know, God is a God of authority. If anybody was there during our
the pastor's question and answer session, you realize that I'm not the only one that moves in authority. He made her stand up right in the middle of everything. He said, her. Okay, so you have to do that. The enemy comes in and destroys the whole family if you don't do that. And so Isaiah chapter 6 talks about a different place. Everybody see a different place. When we're talking about heaven and portholes and gates, and we're talking about doors being open in heaven, it's a different door than the doors you see horizontally in your encounters of your life. Totally different door. And so all of a sudden in Isaiah chapter 6, it reads in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, it filled the temple, and above him were the seraphim. Each had six wings, and with two, he covered his face. So, see, the angel had six wings, but two of the wings he would cover his, God's awesomeness. The angels would cover their face with God. Y'all got that? They got six wings. So two of those wings, they would lose to cover their face. And with two others, they covered their feet. And with others, the other two, they flew. So you had feet covering, face covering, and only two of them were flying. And you can read more about that a little bit later on. And they were saying, holy, 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 declaring is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth, now they're in heaven, in the throne room of God, but they're saying the whole earth is filled with his glory. And they're in the presence of his glory, so they're covering their face, they're covering their feet, and they're staying in his presence. And he says, and the foundations of the threshold shook. So they're in this threshold, this doorway, and it's shaking, and it shook. And the voice of him who called began to shake the house, and the house was filled with smoke. I mean, does that get your attention if you're in a room like that? And it's like, holy, 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 the whole earth filled with his glory. Right? So that's the kind of door I'm talking about. That's the kind of door that this whole week's been about. And that's what God talked to me about. So I'm not talking about, you know, a door in your workplace. We're talking about a holy door. You know, one of the moments at Brownsville was revival with Steve Hill was about repentance. It was about getting sin out of your life every single night. And whether you repented 5 minutes ago, you still wanted, the draw was so intense, you just wanted to pray. But you had to work the altar, so you couldn't go, give me a moment. Dear Lord, I'm sure something, Lord, forgive me. And it was just God was pulling people to a place of repentance so that he could be in relationship with us. You have to understand, if we come close to him with sin and saying that we don't want to deal with it, then his very presence deals with it. It's not, God loves us so much that he made a way to deal with sin. But if we think it's not a big issue, then we find out it's a big issue, right? So here's Isaiah. And Isaiah said, woe is me. So the angels are like this. They're covered. They're flying. They're declaring the glory of God. It's on the face of the earth. They're in the presence of the throne room. And he's saying, this prophet that prophesied about Jesus coming, he's saying, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am lost. There's something about coming in the presence of God and the holiness of God that we become totally aware of our state. And it's important to understand he knew our state before we knew our state. So don't think, God draws near to us, but what we have to do is make adjustments in our life. God doesn't adjust. He just doesn't adjust. He's God. He's fully God. He exists outside of time. He always was. And so he's holy and he's righteous. Righteous means it's already been established and it's not changing. So anything that has to come to him has to be rightly fitting into that situation. And the only one that did that is who? It's Jesus, right? And so Isaiah says, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Isn't it amazing? The first thing he begins to think about is everything he ever said. You know, of all the sin that he thought about at that moment in the presence of God, he didn't think about sins of the hand, sins of the eye, sins of the feet, where he went, all the different kind of stuff. He thought about, what have I been saying with my mouth? And this is a prophet. This is a prophet. I remember during the Brownsville Revival that the most amazing thing to me at that time was how many pastors got saved. How many people who have been talking about Jesus for years. You know, they just kind of watched it. They watched church. They saw it as a, I can do that. You know, especially if you're a great studier and you can, I mean, the Pharisees had the Bible memorized, but they called the word itself Satan. They called Jesus Satan. And so, of all the things, he is like, his mouth, he says, man, he says, woe is me, for I am a man, I am lost. He realized his state, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people who say the same stuff, who have unclean lips. Isn't that amazing? Everybody say words matter. People say they don't matter, but you got a 50-year-old man laying on some psychiatrist's couch talking about what his daddy said to him when he was 8. Words matter. Words matter what you say to people, what you speak over them, and what you speak over yourself. God speaks good things over you. Like the song that we just sang, that he sings over you before you even began your life. He sung over you. He loves you. But he's holy, right?
This is so awesome. You know, I am sharing with you a prophetic encounter that God gave me where he took me to his throne room. I'm trying to put it into words, and I've been sharing it. As a matter of fact, if you call it the early part of this program, I've been sharing it. But we're going to pick up where I left off. This is so important. As a matter of fact, we have this as a gift for you. You get the whole thing in its entirety as a gift. Go to vfnkb.com. You can see it on your screen and just go to special offer there at the top and it'll take you right to it and you can watch the whole thing in its entirety. But I believe God's speaking to us. We have to remember the holiness of God and the awesomeness of Jesus. As a matter of fact, join us. We're going to go join right now at the VFN Dream Center where I'm trying to put this into words. Check it out.
And then he says, you know, for I live amongst people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. The angels covered themselves, and they were declaring his holiness, but Isaiah looked and lived, right? And so we're talking about, what I'm going to try to explain to you about is understanding what God's doing, that God, not the God that people described as not him, not this God that you can do anything, say anything, you can call him your fishing buddy, Lord. I mean, you co-pilot, all these different things, and a man upstairs, a man in general, calling him man. And just being so familiar with whoever you think, that's not God. But people can talk about God, a God, for their whole life, but then you can encounter him, and then all of a sudden we're like Isaiah going, what was I thinking? You know, somebody says, you know, oh, I don't know if I could abide. But once you meet him, you're like, once you understand, first of all, that you can abide with him. Second, like, who am I to say that I'm going to do this without him? Right? And it's verse 6. Then one of the seraphims flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal. Now, you know about the tabernacle, where that coal came from, right? The heavenly tabernacle, the one that's the true, not the shadow, but took that coal. And think about a coal now. Have you ever touched, I mean, hopefully you haven't. They're very hot, right? They were very hot. And so he took the coal. This is what sin is. Took that hot coal and touched his lips with a hot coal. Don't do that. But understand, you know, this is prior to Jesus going and offering his blood up. And he took the tongs from the altar, grabbed the coal in verse 7, and he touched my mouth with that coal from the altar, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt has been taken away, and your sin has been atoned for. See, when God reveals himself, don't run. Don't go, I'm busy. Realize what's going to happen when God reveals himself. He's revealing things in our life to be able to give us an opportunity to get right with him. Some people are like, I just felt sinful. It's like, hello, Isaiah felt sinful. and Isaiah. No, Isaiah. And so God knows about our sin condition, but we have but it's not a condition that we have to live amongst sin. We can make decisions to leave our life of sin. It's called repentance. Everybody say repentance. And then verse 8 says, and then I heard a voice from the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who shall go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Isn't it interesting? It began with seeing the Lord, revealing the holiness of God, the unholiness of Isaiah, God dealing with the issue of sin, and immediately saying, now I want you to go and tell people about me. Does that make sense? God's always looking for those who will go and tell people about him. He's always looking. That's what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? Jesus went from town to town, city to city, telling people about the love of God, healing, giving everybody an opportunity to know him and to walk with him. People said, why don't you stay here? You'd make a pretty awesome president. You know, you'd be a great mayor for our city. And he said, no. He says, I must be about the Father's business. So what's the Father's business? Seeking and saving those that are lost. But what happens before that is an encountering a holy God. Because if you start talking about a God that you don't know yet, or that you're familiar, something that you built, you know, people say, we don't have idols. Well, you talk to people, you'll find out they built this kind of God and they built that kind of God. They use the same verbiage. But it's like, I don't know that one. And the further you get away from the Word of God, the strangest things people built and call God. And so once he became aware of his holiness, well, of God's holiness, he became aware of his unholiness, but he was willing to go and see the Lord. And God dealt with the sin in his life, and he was willing to have the sin dealt with in the sin of his life. Do you know, there's a better life for you outside of sin. Sin, as one of the elders said, you know, is pleasure for a day. A day. Think about it. A day. That's why the enemy has to constantly create new sin, new ideas and ways to trap you, because there's no pleasure in sin. It's just he creates something else. You know, you have to understand the eye. Your eye, this is what the Word of God says about your eye. Has anybody heard about a black hole? You heard of a black hole in space? That's about what your eye is. It can never get enough. It can never get enough. Your eye will never get enough. But isn't it interesting? There's so much stuff for your eye today that you could stay on the internet forever, taking more stuff in and more stuff in. It's like, you don't need to know about Afghanistan right now. You need to find about God. But it just keeps taking stuff in. It's like, you have to understand, you're never going to have enough. At some point, you got to say, I'm going to stop this. Quit filling my eyes with television and media and all this junk, because media comes at us at every angle now. TV is like an old analog system. And say, I am not going to, because it will never be satisfied. Your eyes will never be satisfied. It'll never be satisfied. And he calls that the lust of the eye. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Everything's tied to those three things. And Jesus said specifically, he says, listen, if your eye offends you, and what he's saying is that eye causes, if what you're doing with your eyes is leading you to sin, I mean, Jesus said, gouge your eye out. I would say, gouge that thing out of your life, whatever that thing is. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. If it's for you, it's different for everyone. It's different for everyone. You know, some people, you know, they can't watch a house remodel because in their heart, they're envying the house. They want that house. They lust after the house. They're not, they become dissatisfied with their own house. But somebody else looks at a woman or a man, and they become dissatisfied with their spouse. You know what I'm saying? Or they look at money in someone else's hand. They got more money, and all of a sudden they get dissatisfied with the money. You know what I'm saying? It's all lust.
This is so important, because I'm talking about, you know, specifically, you know, what it was like for me when I'm standing outside these open doors, the throne room of God, which is totally filled with the power and the presence and everything you read about, plus all God. I mean, it's just all God. And what you find out about yourself instantly is who you're not.
That's an instant encounter, right?
Right. You know, when somebody says, you know, it's time to pick up the check, somebody says, where's my wallet? Yeah. Well, when you're standing in front of at the throne room of God, you're going, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Yeah. There's nothing. As a matter of fact, you know, tomorrow we're going to pick this up. We're going to actually continue this on. I think
awesome.
We should.
All right.
And I'm going to, because I went for time trying to explain. I'm trying to build on understand what it was and what God showed me to help you understand. Because this is the double door blessing, the open doors. Everybody's talking about the doors and everything
taking place.
But I'm trying to tell you, God showed me what's on the other side of the door. And, you know, God's presence, you know, deals with sin. But Jesus, through Jesus, he forgives sin. And so we tell people about Jesus so that they can have a relationship with God through him. And that's one thing that we did. You can find out at meetmyfather.org. You know, find out about our stories as well. But I just want to encourage you right now, you know, to join us tomorrow as we continue this, showing this explanation. And you can get it in its entirety. You know, go to vfnkb.com. You can see it on your screen and just click on the menu up there, special offer. It's our gift to you. It's just our gift to you. And you can watch it in its entirety because there's no way we're going to be able to show all this to you. But the Lord was all over me when I'm talking about it. I'm trying to explain it. I'm talking in fear and trembling because I'm thinking, like, how much should I say? And, you know, what is this? You know, how do I do this? But understand this. There's nothing that fits in the presence of God other than God.
Hmm.
Not your ideas, not your works, not your religion, not your good works, not, you know, all your things that you build or didn't do or whatever. It's just irrelevant. What's relevant? I mean, it's relevant with one way. If, in fact, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's only Jesus. It is only Jesus. But Jesus is everything. You have to make it right with Jesus. You have to come to him. That's why so many false religions deny him, because they're denying you the one gateway into the gateway of God. And so he is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, any other way, trying to come to God as a thief and a robber. And let me tell you something. If you think you're going to show up as a thief and a robber at the throne of God,
it's not going to work.
You're not going to want to show up.
If you don't have the right garments, you're not going to get in.
What I saw, you don't want to show up with nothing but Jesus, you know, the blood of Jesus on your life. And with that, then he sees no sin. You're in right standing with him, and then you can fit, and you're okay, and you'll enter into his throne room. But I just want to pray with you right now, and join us in our next program, because we're going to continue on with this. And like I said, you can go to vfnkb.com, and at the menu up there, just go to special offers, our gift to you. Just want to give it to you in its entirety, so you can just listen to this full. You might want to listen to it a couple of times and ask God to give you that same encounter, because it puts everything into perspective. That's where we're going to spend eternity, you know, in answering for our life, the great white throne of judgment and the presence of God and the holiness of God, Revelation chapter 4. We'll talk more about that as I begin to share in our next program, but I want to pray with you right now. John, isn't this awesome?
This is amazing. We need this.
Yes.
We need this revelation.
Yeah.
Because we are going to meet him. Everyone's going to have an appointed. The Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die, and then the judgment.
Yeah.
And so we want to be ready, and we want to enjoy his presence because it's readily available.
He loves you. He's present. He's awesome. Also, comment below. Write to us at friends at vfnkb.com. We want to hear from you and what God's saying to you as well. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you. I'm just humbled, Lord, the fact that you would even show me what you showed me. I'm grateful. Lord, speak even more to me, God, about what you want known, God, and we'll reveal it, what you whisper in our ears. Father God, we'll shout it from the rooftops. I pray for all of our viewers and listeners right now, God, that you would just encounter them, Father God, that you would reveal yourself to them, show your glory to them, Father God. Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus, and also, dear God, end abortion, send revival,
Lord.
Send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN-KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.